Near-Death Experience Podcast, an ongoing exploration of spiritually transformative experiences, including NDEs and other phenomena, in order to elucidate the ineffable and better understand our spirituality. All episodes are available at ndepodcast.org. The views expressed and opinions given by the individual hosts and guests are not necessarily those of NDE Podcast, the NDERF, any sponsors, or for that matter, anyone else. In the end, the only opinion that really matters is yours. Near-Death Experience Podcast, item number 371, December 28th, 2021. The NDE of Michael, Divine Masculinity and Divine Femininity.
Welcome to Near-Death Experience Podcast, the official source of audio accounts for the Near-Death Experience Research Foundation. I'm Chaz Hathaway, author of Life in the Spirit World, What Near-Death Experiences May Teach About Life on the Other Side, as well as the music album Home, both of which can be found at our website, neardeathexperiencepodcast.org. Just click on Store. Today we're going to share the experience of Michael from nderf.org. Michael says, I took a very large overdose, which caused a stroke. My experience began with a kind of total unconsciousness. I was so purely absorbed or engulfed by light that I did not know that I existed. It was a whiteout instead of a blackout. There was a sort of implicit descent or falling away from this total absorption. I became aware of a divine masculine energy in relation to a divine feminine energy. I wasn't there, but was instead purely the medium in which those energies met. I felt a feeling of love that was blazing at almost insane intensity, a stellar sense of rapture. Strange comparison, but the image of the initial flash of a nuclear explosion comes to mind. That's what that initial flash was like. The love was both for me, and it was between these two beings. These beings were the divine archetypal polarity of masculine and feminine energy. Try to imagine this in the purest possible sense. The feminine being's love for the masculine was a sort of absolute devotion and surrender. It is not in the sense of one personality relating to another, but a sort of pure archetypal energy. She realized an absolute beauty through his seeing of her. And to give this to him was an act of pure love and rapture. At the same time, his love of her brought to realization her absolute beauty and was a sort of absolute surrender to her. This act of being was like sex in some ideal, purely energetic sense. Both ends of the masculine and feminine polarity were felt at the same time. It was the most incredible thing I've ever felt. The love was infinite and led back by resonating into itself. It really was absolute love, somewhat like Plato's Symposium, the masculine divinity perceiving through love the form of beauty which is the feminine divinity. Except in my experience, it flowed both ways, allowing the feminine divinity to perceive the masculine love. The perception was like a unity of higher feeling, seeing, and knowing. As for the scale of this, it was very much like a fractal. The feeling was descending or ascending through a Mandelbrot fractal. It began at a profound intensity, though you could never say it was the absolute height or end. There was always some sort of fractal form. there was an order of magnitude above or below, and on an infinite scale. It was like staring into the night sky, in the sense that there's an endless depth of possible realization, of falling into it. Implicit in this realization of love between the masculine and feminine divinity was a sort of inherent knowledge, or knowledge inherent in the resonance of that love, or you could just call it a sense. The tension between the masculine and feminine divinity, or divinities combined, was what created the manifest universe. All of the extant universe was an act of love for this feminine energy to return to this masculine energy. Behind all the manifest world was the deepest yearning to return to each other. That's what time is. That's what being finite is. That's what every conscious being somehow embodies. Separation caused that tension. But at the same time, there was a simultaneous reality of them always being in union. This reunion was always taking place and eternally achieved. The realization of that love was somehow eternity. So this sense that they had just united with each other after having been lost to each other had happened since forever. As I fell further out of this higher dimension, I actually overheard my body saying over and over, "I have always loved you. I have always loved you." This was completely involuntary. There was still this sense of ecstasy. I wasn't conscious of my personhood. I remember just staring and being lost in the sight of the ceiling. The light had this inner luminescence of eternity. I gradually faded back into something resembling human consciousness. This experience was absolutely the most profound thing that has ever happened to me. That is the end of Michael's experience. And I'm not exactly sure what Michael overdosed, and I would say never ever overdose on anything in order to try to have such an experience like this. That is not how this is supposed to work. In fact, my understanding of this is that those who have drug-related or, you know, I don't know what he was overdosing. It could have been a prescription or whatever. My hunch is that the experience does not branch out of a drug trip, so to speak, but rather out of them basically dying or coming so close to death that their spirit actually leaves their body, or they enter the spirit realm. Basically, they kill themselves to some level and then manage, either because they are sent back or because they choose, to come back. So what I'm saying is it's just another form of suicide to intentionally overdose. So please do not do this. I emphasize that because one of my concerns about sharing these experiences, especially when they involve either drug trips or suicide, is that people will be tempted to try this in order to experience this. You don't have to worry about whether you can or will experience the other side. You will. We all will. We're going to die one day. And this life, from that perspective, is infinitesimally short. And it's very important that we spend our time here trying to live the best life we can, just being the best people we can, trying to fulfill our purpose and trying to come close to God on a spiritual level, not on the death level, so to speak, okay? Because we're here for a reason, and taking ourselves to the brink intentionally is not the point of our being here. Please do not try anything like that. Okay, having said all that, I'm sorry. But I just thought that was important to point out again. Having said that, okay, Michael dies at some level he dies. His spirit is, I kind of get the impression that he is only separated from his body, not necessarily leaving the space that his body is in, if that makes sense. It appears that there is some level of dimensional change that takes place when a spirit leaves the body. They become conscious as a spirit, and then they either leave the body and go to some place or you know, enter some other realm, something like that, or else they stay in the body in this conscious spiritual state, but they are separated and they are in the spirit world. It's like they have, it's like they're spanning or straddling the dimensions of the eternal side and their physical side, in the sense that they are still in the space of their body. Some of them, if they were tested for their vitals, their heart might be beating, they might be breathing, something to that effect. Sometimes they're not, but they may be still occupying that physical space, but have separated the realms. And I don't know what that means. I don't know what the realms thing even means, but we see this happen often in near-death experiences. And those who finally kind of fully pop out and leave, those are usually the ones more often that are fully, you know, coding and fully, you know, put in a mortuary kind of situation. Sometimes they, you know, it's only a few seconds, and so they're brought back their body is, you know, declared dead, and, you know, tag on the toe and all that stuff. But the point is that it looks like Michael is spiritually leaving this world. So the realm separation is happening, but the physical space may still be at the location of his body. He has not left his body, so to speak. But he's very conscious, and as he is in this state of, he says, I was so purely absorbed or engulfed by light that I did not know I existed. It was, as he says, a kind of total unconsciousness. I don't know what he means by that. It could be that he felt that physical consciousness literally vanish, like completely go away, that physical, because, you know, when you're sleeping, there is some level of consciousness to the body. And I don't know. I'm not sure what to make of the total unconsciousness. It could be that in the stroke, he goes completely unconscious and then finds himself in this light, which is probably more in line with what we've heard in the past. But it's like at some point he realizes he is fully conscious, but he is completely outside the body. Anyway, he describes it as a whiteout instead of a blackout. And then he uses a lot of terms that are kind of big, almost ineffable kind of words. And we're grateful that he's trying, but you get the sense that he's struggling to come up with the right words. But then he goes into this whole discussion, which is the thing that stood out to me over everything else in this near-death experience. And that is this divine masculine energy and this divine feminine energy. Now, he does not seem to say that there were... Well, no, he does. He does. He says that they were two beings. He describes them as two beings. He doesn't say whether he saw them, like they were, you know, visibly before him, but he absolutely and fully sensed them and recognized their presence. And he describes the essence coming from them, the sense that he's getting from them, as a divine masculine and a divine feminine. Now, throughout history, religions, philosophies, spiritual ideas have bounced around this idea of divine masculinity and divine femininity. And sometimes in the study of near-death experiences, we lose a little bit of that because so many people describe the angels that they see, the light beings that they see, as either neither male nor female, or rather that they had so much of both masculine and feminine energy about them that it is as if the gender itself is lost entirely. And while obviously if somebody experiences that, that is what they experience. You know, I can't say, oh, they didn't really experience it like that. You know, they experienced what they experienced, and they're explaining it as best they can, just as Michael's trying to do here. But I just want to emphasize that there does seem to be an eternal nature to gender. Now, what that is, how it manifests, and whether we're talking about energies around individuals that are, you know, X percent feminine and X percent masculine, I don't know. That's not really for me to say. But I would say that it is noteworthy to recognize that there is some eternal nature to gender in the sense of this divine masculine and divine feminine. Now, I give it as my personal belief, and I'm saying that up front because I don't want people to think that I'm trying to put my own ideas out as fact. But I give it as my opinion that just as we have an eternal father, we have an eternal mother. And that eternal set of parents really is a divine masculine being and a divine feminine being. Now, a lot of people are going to find that idea controversial, and some people are going to say, no, but it's energies, it's not individuals. And I'm not going to argue about that because, I mean, there's so much of this we don't understand. But I would say that in most cases, when you're asking a question, well, is it this or is it this? Almost always the answer seems to be, well, it's both. And that is to suggest, well, is it that there are males and females in heaven? Or is it that there is masculine energy and feminine energy, and that we all have some level of both? And I think the answer is both. I think there is a divine, eternal nature to gender, and also that there are these eternal masculine and feminine energies that we both share. Some level of me is feminine, though obviously a large part is probably, you know, majority and some level is masculine. And I think that's worth mentioning, that idea. And that is my personal belief, is that we have divine parents. And this experience is, this is one of the reasons this experience kind of stood out to me, because, you know, you don't hear a lot about creation from a joint male and female sense, other than when you come to Earth and in the mortal life, you need a male and a female to create a baby, basically. There may be some level of that on the other side. These eternal beings creating using their joint masculine and feminine energy. And while I don't want to turn this into some kind of inappropriate discussion about procreation and so forth, I think there is it appears from what I can see and what I personally believe is that there is an eternal procreation of some sort. How that takes place, I don't know. This just seems to reflect that possibility or that idea. And he goes to great length here, Michael does, to describe both their relationship, which is of both devotion and surrender to each other, and this love and rapture, which both comes out from them into the other and comes into them from the other to be absorbed in, so to speak. And he says this act of being was like sex in some ideal, purely energetic sense. So this idea of some kind of eternal procreative power taking place seems to be present here. And then he goes on and he says that it's like a fractal. And as I read his words, I had to kind of, you know, I'm kind of stumbling along because I'm not sure what exactly he means by it, but he describes a fractal and how the feeling was descending or ascending through this Mandelbrot fractal. And if you Google Mandelbrot fractal, you can see what that's referring to in an image sense. And if you ever watch a video or GIF or something of a fractal, zooming into a fractal, what you find is that as you zoom in, the pattern is repeating itself indefinitely. So it's like you zoom in, and at the closer level, it looks just like the outer level. Almost, I don't know how to describe it in a physical sense, the way the universe takes place, but just picture for a moment that, you know, you've got atoms where there is the electron and proton going, or sorry, the electron surrounding this proton, and, you know, and I forget where neutrons fit in, I'm sorry for not researching that ahead of time, but I'm picturing kind of this rotation happening, this revolution happening with the rotation around it, and thinking of it in terms of how you have a sun with planets surrounding it. What if, and this is a fractal idea, what if the solar system, for example, is the atom of something much, much, much larger, and that thing is an atom of something bigger still? And also, what if the atom is a solar system, so to speak, of something much, much, much smaller? Now, you know, I don't want to get into a discussion of whether that is the case or whatever, but just picturing that, that's kind of what I'm sensing from this experience, is that there is some eternal level of fractality about this love that is shared between these two beings, between the energy that they put forth to each other and for each other, that is absolutely beautiful, that is encompassing love in its every degree to perfection. You know, we sometimes assume from these experiences that love that includes romantic love somehow just kind of goes away because there's just something better on the other side. Rather, while there are divine loves that go beyond that, absolutely, I think that it might be more accurate to say that the romantic love that we experience here is the tiny fractal version of the romantic love that is available there. And that we can experience it to the mortal ecstasy level here, and there it is so much bigger, so much greater, so much more encompassing than what we could ever even imagine here. So I think there's something to eternal romantic love. And I don't think that Michael would disagree with me on that. I wish I could talk to him more about this, because this is really interesting, these things that he's saying. But he does say that the tension between, I'm quoting him now, the tension between the masculine and feminine divinity or divinities combined was what created the manifest universe, which kind of reflects this procreative idea. What that means, I don't know. How does that work? no idea. I just think that this life could be a fractal representation of what that love is there. And how much more romantic can you get than this, than the way he describes it, saying behind all the manifest world was the deepest yearning to return to each other. So there's that yearning, and yet at the same time, it's also this moment of being just united after having been, lost to each other for so long. So it's like this moment of reunion is taking place in perpetuity. This infinite moment of reunion taking place between these two individuals, this perfect romantic moment taking place for eternity in some way, at some level. And you know, is there anything more romantic than that? I'd sure like to know it. I consider myself a romantic myself, and when I hear this, I'm like, wow. And I have hope. And I have absolute determination, you might say, as well as conviction, that it is possible for me and my wife, whom I love with all of my heart, whom I long for on a daily basis. And yes, we have, scuffles and bumping into each other and trying to figure life out and finances and raising children and all the things. Yes, we have that, but there is this constant yearning, longing for her. And it is both a dream and conviction of mine that we can continue into the eternities to have this perfect romantic love, and that the way that he describes it coming from these two beings, that's going to be me and my wife someday, as we become as we are intended to do. We're spiritual beings. We're here to progress and we're here to grow. And that growing and that progression does not end with death. Rather, we take what we experienced here, the growth, the learning, the overcoming that we experience here, into that life, into that eternal realm. And it is my feeling that it is intended to grow into that perfect, eternal, happy ever after. And if you, in listening to this, find yourself feeling somehow left out, kind of some FOMO or feeling of, I wish I had that, or I wish that was possible for me, let me just say it is possible for you. I cannot say whether it will be in this life or whether it will be in the next, but strive for it. Live for it. Remember, this life is broken. There are parts of my life that will never be fixed in this life. It will not work in this life. But if I am true to myself, true to my values, doing what I know and feel drawn by God to do, I'm confident that those things that are lacking here because of my physical, psychological, emotional problems that I have here, those problems will be taken away because they are part of mortality, not part of eternity. And there are things to learn from them. Perhaps a greater measure of love, because I can't experience it fully here. Perhaps a greater measure of understanding, because I lack understanding so severely here. So please don't feel left out if you don't have a strong relationship with someone. Just seek and strive it with the purest goodness and love that you can muster. And learn to grow. And learn to learn from your mistakes. Be willing to put up boundaries. Because boundaries in mortality are sometimes a key to love. Especially in abusive relationships. You cannot experience a full love where there are certain things taking place in a relationship. And putting up those boundaries will either separate and break off the relationship so that you can go find a better one, or it will free up the heart to be able to recover, to change, and then come back appropriately and better. And what that's going to mean for you or your loved ones, I can't say. That's between you and your loved ones and God. And I really feel, you know, people talk like, God's not really part of it, that we're all kind of part of this eternal universe. Even if you only look at God as this divine mentor, you know, you think about this life, you want to go out and do it yourself, and you can pull yourself up by your bootstraps and go get yourself your education so that you can get yourself the best job ever. All along the way, you have mentors, you have teachers, you have bosses, you have different people who are helping you get in the situation to become better. I see God as the perfect version of that for all of us. There is a divine being who created the universe, who we can look to, who we can speak to and ask for his help. He will often say to us, "This is up to you." And often he will say, "This is up to me." But most of the time, it will be a mentorship, an apprenticeship with him. And when you can see him that way, he can guide you to the best relationships, to the best situations, if not in this life, certainly in the next. And with that, thank you so much, all of you, for listening.
Chaz and I thank you for listening to Near Death Experience Podcast. You can reach out to your hosts by using Chaz, Chas, at ndepodcast.org. And John, John, at ndepodcast.org. You can text or call the show at 970-633-2278. That's 970-NDE-CAST. Calling allows you to record your message in 3-minute increments. If your message runs longer than 3 minutes, just call back and we can splice the segments together. Follow us on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook by searching NDE Podcast on those sites. And join our Facebook NDE Podcast community. Please leave feedback for the show on iTunes or via whatever application you use to listen to us. Doing so will allow our audience to grow and help spread the knowledge about spiritually transformative experiences to more listeners. You can help keep the show financially viable by purchasing Chaz's music or his book under the store link on the ndepodcast.org website, or by going to patreon.com/ndepodcast, where you can make a one-time only donation or become an ongoing supporter. Whether you decide to write or call us, or you choose to support the show, either financially or by writing a review, or by listening and sharing us with others, we are so humbly thankful for you. We can't begin to express how much touching you spiritually means to us. Chaz and I thank you for joining us. We hope you keep listening and applying the understanding you gain from the show about your existence after this earthly life, so you have a better life right now. And to love one another. This is your host, John Messer, reminding you that it's all about attitude and gratitude, and our attitude should always be love.